All right, we are less than a minute to the closing bell. To help us make heads and tails of what's happened in the markets today, we're going to be speaking with Lisa Erickson, U.S. Bank Wealth Management Senior Vice President and Co-Head Public Markets Group, and also George Ball, Sanders Morris Harris, the Chairman. Thank you both for being here. Just want to let everybody know as we get ready for the closing bell, we are trending down. Jared was just briefing us on what's going on here. We've got the Dow off of a little more than 100 points, with the S&P 500 off almost 10 points, and the NASDAQ down now almost 20 points. We're going to talk about all of this in just a second, but here's the closing bell. All right, that's going to be a wrap on this Tuesday. We're going to get bank earnings tomorrow, but let's see how we did today. Dow off, as you can see, all three indices closing negative once again. Just want to let you know, despite closing down, some of the sectors that were positive, consumer discretionary up about 1%, and then also real estate up over 1.5%, utilities, maybe a defensive play in play. Utilities up just under 1%. Let's get to the panel and talk about this, because there may be some anxiety out there, Lisa. Both of our guests point out that there are going to be some surprises to the upside in this earnings season. And Lisa, what is making you think that we're going to be pleasantly surprised when we start getting those earnings?
Well, we're optimistic on earnings season for a couple of key reasons. First, if you look at the year-to-date performance, companies really have done a great job holding their own. And while there are some challenges on the horizon, what we also see from a macro perspective is that most of the indicators are still high. We're seeing some good, solid consumer confidence and spending. And we have that pent-up demand along with savings in the pocketbook. So all of those factors should continue to allow companies to continue to increase and bring out sales and earnings. But again, we will want to watch the actual results to see what the final numbers are.
George, we're going to be paying attention in those earning reports to guidance, but something that you're telling folks is that the future, to be, as I'm going to quote you here, comparatively clear, U.S. and global economies are going to improve, inflation may even get uncomfortably high, interest rates will go up, but not to historical average levels anytime soon. So there is opportunity. Where is the opportunity? Which sectors?
Over the very short term, tomorrow and the next day, I think you're going to start to see an opportunity in the bank stocks. Net interest margins are going to improve. Interest rates are going up. Net interest margins are the biggest and the best part of a bank's earnings. In the past couple of quarters, banks have reported dynamite earnings, but mainly because their trading results are good. Markets don't give high multiples to trading results. Net interest margins, which are more sustainable, are going up as interest rates are going up. Markets aren't focused just on today. They look ahead 6 months. And that's why I think there's some good opportunities on the long side. And again, I would emphasize the banking industry as a place to put money, both short and somewhat longer term.
George, let me just do a quick follow-up with you on that, because as interest rates do start to go up, I know the banks have been cutting back on their loan loss reserves. Wouldn't they be setting up for a problem, or is that more a symbol of the health of the financial sector?
I think that the loan criterion being exercised by banks internally and by the regulators are much tauter than before, and so you're unlikely to get a horrendous economy, a huge need to set up major loan loss reserves beyond the normal expectation when you increase your loan portfolio. But again, it's the interest margin, I think, that's a big thing working for the banks. The loan losses in the foreseeable economy, which looks to be pretty good, shouldn't be bad, shouldn't be devastating by any stretch of the imagination.
Lisa, some of our viewers think that the market has gotten a bit expensive, a little pricey for them. And yet you point out that, it's in the zone of okay. How do you define that? And what would you advise them?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Adam. So really, we see valuations, again, as you point out, in the zone of okay, simply because while they're on the higher side compared to historical averages, they're not extreme. Certainly, if you look back at the last several decades, there were times where valuations moved up into the upper 20s. Certainly, if you look at the S&P today, it's probably somewhere around 22 time earnings. So certainly not at those extreme levels. And even if you compare where we are today with pre-pandemic, so just before we hit really the full realization of what was happening with COVID-19, we're even at lower levels compared to that. So again, valuations are something we want to continue to monitor, but they're not, in our minds, a flashing red signal at this point.
To follow up on that, are your clients, though, hesitant to jump into this market? Because what I'm hearing, and correct me if I'm hearing wrong, is there's opportunity now. Don't wait for a dip. Now is the time to maybe get into this market if you're on the sidelines.
Well, our clients really have stayed pretty consistent with equity allocations. And I think if you step back and take a look at the overall picture, besides just what I shared on the valuation and multiple front, it is also a comparison story. So if you compare equities, for example, to fixed income, and you just look at the low absolute level of rates, again, it really brings you back to stocks as a potentially a more compelling alternative with the potential growth and also really the low level of income and yield that you can get from fixed income.
George, you're advising your clients different kinds of percentages for assets, 20 to 30% cash as opposed to longer dated bonds, 10 to 20% in bank or bank-like stocks. You also say 10% to 20% in profitable growing companies, if only, you know, only if we could all identify those. How do you find them to a degree where they're not hiding behind some of the benefits they got during COVID-19 to hide perhaps their underperformance?
Adam, in a prior segment, you used the phrase when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. I was at E.F. Hutton back then, and I certainly would listen to what Lisa said. It was very profound and very wise advice. Right in the here and now, I think that there should be a substantial reallocation of equity monies into companies that are doing so well that the stock should go up, even if the market does not. The market is pricey, but not priced to an extreme. And so if you look for a company in the medical business, in the medical tech business, in the pharmaceutical business, by the way, being Houston-based, I'll say fracking companies. Fracking stocks are up a bit, but not nearly as much as one would expect with energy prices where they are. And up to now, the fracking companies have not really reopened the spigot. They're about to. At $75 or $80 oil, I can promise you the people who run fracking companies are going to start to drill and to sell plentiful amounts of oil, and it'll have a huge impact on their bottom line. So fracking stocks, crypto, cybersecurity companies, hacking stocks, and I would say, by the way, if you want to be poetic about it, Jack, so hack, frack, and Jack for Jack in the Box as a strong food retailer defensive characteristics.
Yeah, when I've been on the West Coast, love Jack in the Box. And regarding E.F. Hutton, I'm old enough to remember a lot of firms. My brother interned at the old Shearson Lehman. But Lisa, I want to share something with you that is perhaps cause for concern. Apple has announced that it's going to slash its iPhone production goals due to the chip crunch. This is part of the inflation story. And we keep hearing from different analysts that the pressures are going to continue, but you've pointed out consumer confidence in spending profitability could be impacted. When I take that into context of what we're talking about, I'm one of those, you know, nervous folk who's reluctant to put money into the markets with that kind of news. Where's my mistake?
Well, to your point, Adam, inflation is something that we all are needing to watch very carefully. It's certainly been elevated over the last couple of quarters, and the question is, where is it going to head going forward? Our base case scenario, based both on our forecasting work as well as just as what we look at in terms of where the economy is headed, is that that inflation rate should come back down over time. And the reason why is as we continue to get a normalization of the labor market and a normalization of some of those supply side constraints, that should then help relieve the price pressures. But again, as we've watched how the recovery has gone, it has been a slower process than many have anticipated. However, again, as we continue to see the vaccination rates take hold, as well as mobility and activity continue to pick up, again, hopefully we'll continue to see a normalization on that side. So bottom line, our moderately optimistic view here on stocks and on the market is really based, again, on some of those inflationary pressures coming off over time.
Lisa Erickson is U.S. Bank Wealth Management Senior Vice President, also a co-head in the Public Markets Group, and also George Ball, Sanders Morris Harris, he's the chairman. We appreciate you both being here and giving us some insight, especially as we get ready for a very important earnings season.